Welcome to earnings season. What should we be looking for this time?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in New York. I'm Jeremy Hobson with The Morning Open, a look at business and the economy as Wall Street starts the trading day. Coming up, earnings season gets underway this week, and it won't just be about how much money companies are making. But first, where's Wall Street? Markets are down right now. The Dow is down 52 points at 11,622. The NASDAQ down about a third of 1%, and the S&P 500 also down about a third of 1%. Two big corporate deals this morning. Chemical maker DuPont will buy the food ingredient company Danisco for about $6 billion. And Duke Energy is buying Progress Energy for about $13 billion. That deal would create the country's largest utility by market value. Now let's get to corporate earnings and what they might tell us about the health of the economy. This week we're going to hear from aluminum company Alcoa and from the chipmaker Intel as the quarterly earnings season gets underway. Julia Coronado is chief economist at the investment bank BNP Paribas, and she's with us live as she is every Monday. Good morning, Julia.
Good morning.
So what are you expecting to see as we start to see companies report how they did in the final quarter of 2010?
Well, I think 2010 ended on a reasonably positive note, and so on balance, I think we're going to see some pretty good numbers coming out of this season. But what I'm going to be looking for is not so much what they say about sales in 2010 or at the end of 2010, but how they guide our expectations going into 2011.
And what specifically are you going to be looking for? Because, yes, as you say, companies, when they come out with their earnings, they also tell us what they're looking for next year.
Yes, exactly. And so what they're going to tell us is something about what they expect to happen to sales, so the amount of stuff that they sell, but also what is happening to what they pay for production, so what they're paying for energy and labor and other things that they need to combine to make the products that they sell. And what we're seeing is that companies are spending a lot more on those costs for energy, agricultural inputs, wages and salaries for workers overseas specifically, not so much in the U.S. And the real question is, can they pass those higher costs that they're paying on to consumers? And right now, the pricing power for companies in the U.S. is very low, and consumers are price sensitive. So the question is, are we going to see profits get squeezed in 2011?
All right. We'll be watching to see what happens. Julia Coronado, chief economist at the investment bank BNP Paribas. Thanks so much.
My pleasure.
Well, today the Consumer Product Safety Commission is going forward with a controversial plan to publicize the thousands of complaints it receives every year about defective products. Our Washington Bureau Chief John Dimsdale reports.
The Product Safety Agency will post complaints about defective merchandise within 15 days of receiving them. Consumer groups say that'll help warn customers about everything from dangerous baby cribs to toxic drywall. Right now, the public has only limited access to complaints, and consumer advocates say it takes too long to figure out trends that expose defective products. But Rosario Palmieri at the National Association of Manufacturers says there are no safeguards to make sure the complaints aren't made by competitors or even trial lawyers looking for business.
We fear that some with political or financial motives might use this database as an opportunity to falsely malign particular products, companies, or brands.
The CPSC says companies will be protected from false accusations or the disclosure of business secrets, and manufacturers' responses will be listed alongside each complaint. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Yellow Book 360, offering a spectrum of marketing tools for small businesses designed to go beyond yellow. More at yellowbook360.com. By the all-new Chevrolet Volt, available soon in select markets. Details at chevyvolt.com. The all-new Chevrolet Volt, it's more car than electric. And by Reputation Defender, monitoring, protecting, and helping improve your online reputation while deleting personal data from websites that sell it. ReputationDefender.com.
Tonight, Oregon and Auburn will square off in college football's BCS championship game. But before a single player steps onto the field, a lot of fans have already tasted defeat. That's because the ticket-selling website StubHub allowed hundreds of tickets to be sold, even though they never actually existed. From Oregon Public Broadcasting, David Nogueras reports.
If you're looking to go to a sold-out sports event or music concert, and you're not comfortable buying a scalp ticket in the parking lot, thanks to the internet, there are options. StubHub is one of the big players. This year's BCS title had been shaping up to be the biggest moneymaker in the history of StubHub. Head of Communications Glenn Lehrman says that all changed when sellers began to let them know they didn't actually have some of the tickets they sold.
And ordinarily, you know, if something like this happens, we're able to source the tickets from, you know, a variety of locations and able to take care of that. But in this instance, because tickets had become so expensive and so scarce, it was just almost impossible at this point.
With an average cost of $1,100 a ticket, StubHub did something it had never done before. It shut down the event on its site and emailed customers who already received their tickets, offering to buy them back for three times what they paid. StubHub now says they bought back enough tickets to cover all the unfulfilled orders. How much did that cost?
I can't give exact numbers, but let's just say it's a lot of money.
But then again, the secondary ticket market brings in about $3 billion a year. Sucharita Malpuru is an analyst for Forrester Research. She says at the center of that market are the ticket brokers.
A lot of these brokers have relationships with season ticket holders that they think that they can take advantage of. And sometimes in cases like this, situations get a little bit out of hand.
None of the brokers contacted for the story would agree to go on the air, but one said it's common for brokers to sell tickets they don't have with the hope of buying them cheaper later on from panicky sellers. It's kind of like a short sale. But this guy's company lost about $80,000 because not enough fans were willing to part with their tickets, no matter how high prices got. In Oregon, I'm David Nogueras for Marketplace.
And finally, you'd think in 2011 we'd be flocking to theaters to see movies about internet startups or aliens, futuristic stuff like that. Nope. The top movie at the box office over the weekend was True Grit. It's now brought in $110 million. It's the first Western to top $100 million since Unforgiven and Dances with Wolves back in the 90s. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
A lot of things are made in China. Soon, though, you might need to add that morning cup of joe to the list.
The reason we've worked with companies like Nestle and Starbucks here is to learn their skills, management, and brand building. One day, we'll have our own famous brand.
I'm Kai Rizdal, the China Blend. Next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.